Item 1156.
Accept a grant in the amount of $42,390, appropriate $32,000 for fiscal year 2014-15, and amend an intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Justice Crime Victim Services Division to extend the 2012-14 VOCA non-competitive grant period through September 30, 2015 for Police Bureau Crisis Response Team.
Good morning, Sergeant Sessions and team. Welcome.
Morning.
Morning. Who's on first?
Good morning. I'll start, Mayor, Commissioners. Happy to be here today. I'm Lieutenant Mike Fort.
Mike.
And I work in the Youth Services Division, which houses our crisis response team as well. And we are here to ask council to accept a grant from the Oregon Department of Justice for victims.
VOCA.
VOCA, and that is the.
Victims of Crime Act.
Victims of Crime Act. And that, this grant of $42,390 will fund the senior administrative specialist that we have funded for the past 7 years. And this is necessary in order to keep all of our data and all of our volunteers and to help serve the community we serve. I'll back up for 1 second and say that the idea of this crisis response team was born in about 1993 with a police officer working with the community in Northeast Portland in a way to address the needs of victims of violent crime. 1994, Portland Police Bureau then partnered with the Northeast community and formed a crisis response team. That was entirely successful, and so much so that in 1995, Portland Police Bureau created an Asian Pacific Islander crisis response team, then followed in 1996 with a Hispanic crisis response team, and then also in 1996, a sexual minorities crisis response team. Since that time, we have served over 1,000 victims of crime and over 1,700 family members. The crisis response team is made up specifically of Officer Marcy Jackson and of our senior administrative specialist, Deborah Monk. And also we have varied at times. We currently have about 20 or so community volunteers. We have had up to 30. And those volunteers are all coordinated by our senior administrative specialist and by Officer Jackson. And this grant helps us to continue paying it 0.62% of our non-sworn's salary. And the Portland Police Bureau picks up the other part of that. So this really is an extension of the grant that we currently have to carry us through the end of the fiscal year 2015. And that is about all I have, I think. If there are questions specifically about the program, I'll defer.
Tell us a little bit more about the role of volunteers, what you're looking for in volunteers in this work. You know, it's one of a number of areas where we solicit people to volunteer to work with us, whether it's in trying to give kids alternatives to gang involvement or, in this case, victims of crime. What are you looking for, and how should we sort of seek more help for the work through volunteers?
I'm Officer Marcy Jackson, and I coordinate the teams. Basically, we're looking for people of communities who can go to a traumatic incident and offer resources from that community to that family that's in need at that time. And so if it's language, if it's knowing where your synagogues or mosque or church or those things, or where other resources specific to that community, those are the people that we ask or that we invite to come with us.
Okay, good. Thank you. Other questions, comments? Thank you all. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Anyone signed up on this item?
Yes, we have 3 people: Mary Eng, Ben Pickering, and Charles Johnson.
Okay. Go ahead, Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, Council. I apologize for always forgetting my name. It just doesn't seem important to me because it's sort of a transpersonal reality and universal human experience I hope to convey. But or egoless. But the whole thing with the crisis response team, I think what we need to make sure is really clear in the future leadership as we take the helm is to be sure that James Chass killers are off the mental health response unit, as well as Kyle Nice, who has a very traumatizing effect, and potentially some inquiry into Birkenbein's role in the shooting of Aaron Campbell should be reopened, which he testified at Pickering's trial. And I found it rather interesting to have him on the stand and see how he coordinates investigations of alleged brutality incidents. But with the crisis response, I am very interested how we can actually provide better victim advocacy, because I think what we need more than monetary damages and the continued drain of settlements towards people who feel that they've been done wrong by the police, we need like a kind of like a proactive victim advocacy that takes impact statements of victims and an enhancement of their sense of justice and their feeling of justice and recourse. And I think with crisis response, this is under development, and I hope that we can have a multicultural understanding of what crisis is, because in the Western model of mental illness, we really leave out alternative modalities. And I think Oregon is especially well situated for a more comprehensive integrative approach to various religious practices or various medical modalities that do not see the Cartesian mind-body dualism to indicate that mental illness is something which can be cured. And I think things arising from the Freudian model are often very Eurocentric in their nature, and that if we start to realize that cultural expressions of dress or of linguistic expression or are very lively parts of our diversity, we can stop having such a kind of a dualistic understanding of what crisis is. And then also, we must remind ourselves that this is the right to die state, and that the Oregon right to die is a very important part. And I think in some ways, maybe some of us coming from a Judeo-Christian background may have a prohibitive nature on the right to die, but we maybe should reevaluate our response to the availability of the right to die and not immediately assume that someone who chooses suicide is choosing a sinful thing or something like that.
Thanks. Charles, I think you're next.
Actually, just pass it over to me. Right. Stephen Entwistle. This sounds like a great program to have response teams that have connections with the community so that the people know that the police can use the resources from the community to help out the folks that are in need or in crisis situations. I think that's a great idea compared to the alternative. And the different groups that you mentioned, how many groups were there? But anyway, there's like the Somali group, on down the list. And I was wondering, is there a houseless response team? And can we make a houseless response team that from community members that are familiar with houseless folks and possibly even know some of the houseless folks and have relationships with them to pull them in to help out with some crisis situations there? I know that the alternative is not a pretty one. Okay, because we see the alternative as a very damaging and violent alternative, and we need not to have that continue. We would like to change that and have a more a response that has to do with intelligence and resolve rather than violent endings, because we don't need to punish people into submission. Okay, over some small domestic issues of whatnot, and I think a response team for the houseless folks would be advantageous for the entire community. And it would probably prevent suicide also. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Good idea. Charles.
Good morning again, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson. And I think my greatest concern here is scale. We just talked about a $700,000 program that covers the whole overscope of policing. And now when we're talking about victims, what's available for the federal government is only about $42,000. But that may illuminate one of the problems we have with policing nationwide, in that much of police time and budget is consumed on victimless crimes. And I hope, Mayor, that, of course, the voters have made this a little simpler for you starting in July. There'll be no criminal marijuana, except maybe for people trying to get around the business regulations of the business. But I hope, Mr. Mayor, that you'll work with, even though some some victimless crimes are related to quality of life, you know, certainly the highest goal for the police department is to be able to see that people who are victimized by crime, that experience is, the trauma is minimized, and those people are being able to stay healthily connected with the society. So I hope that you'll encourage the police force to be focused on dealing with what some people would say is real crime, situations where actual human beings have been harmed or deprived of their property by another human being, and that we don't ever get into the delusion of broken windows policing, where too much of an already oversized police budget is involved in business that's not really making the quality of life improve in those cities. It's based on a mistaken theory of, as Captain Marshman talked about, sometimes policing activity, the presence of the police, even though it may affect crime, doesn't really relate to how those people in their community perceive the quality of life. So I was very pleased to hear you ask about the nature of the volunteers, because I hope all of you on this commission, and we'll reach out across the river to the county commission, because there's so much overlap, to find people from communities, the Asian community, other minorities, so that when people are victimized by crime, they don't just have some people with guns coming in saying, how are the gun managers, but they can get connected to people who will feel like they can help that person get through whatever the situation is. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, anyone else? All right, let's take a roll call on that item, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Thank you very much. Okay, and 11:56.